Praise God. Malachi. This is where we get our help.
Amen.
This is where we get our help. This is where we get our change. And I just always, you know, sometimes when you're maybe going on a journey and you already have been there, and you're taking someone with you for the first time, and this is the first time we've journeyed on this service, you want to make them aware of some things so they don't miss out on some sights or something. Or, you know, don't go to sleep during this part. And I just want to just tell you, get ready, because God's going to speak to every single heart here this morning. And it's going to be almost like it was just geared right for you. And I don't know everything that everybody's going through or what you need, but the Lord does. Hallelujah. And don't miss that, because sometimes people miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. And, you know, I've said it before, there's not really much spectacular about me as a person, and this, you know, this is just a normal building, but it's supernatural when the God of heaven can say something through your pastor that's pertinent to your life. And there's so many people here, and everybody can walk out saying, I got something. And that's what's going to happen today. So don't miss that. Hallelujah. When that happens, that's a sign unto you that God loves you and cares about you and has better for you, has more for you. So let's pray and believe God for utterance today and boldness. Father, we're so glad to be here, is what I'm trying to say. Father, we're excited to be in your house. Lord, help me to minister the word the way you'd want it spoken this morning. Father, they don't need my ideas. They don't need my opinions. They don't need my philosophies. Father, I'm well aware. And I want you to know, Father, that I know that I'm nothing without you, Lord. That you're a divine. I'm just a branch. And apart from you, I can do nothing. Father, I can't help anybody here in and of myself, Lord. We need you this morning. We need utterance from heaven. So, Father, I'm asking that I would speak as the oracles of God, and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. I'm asking that you would make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, speaking words in season. Father, I thank you we're going to hit bullseyes in people's hearts this morning, exactly where they're at, exactly what they need to hear. And Father, I thank you we're going to get our help, and we're going to go to a new level of glory. We're going to walk out of here changed and have a better future and a better direction for our life. And Lord, we'll give you the praise for that. We're not trying to magnify the name of a ministry or the name of a minister. We're magnifying Jesus in the Word this morning. So thank you, Lord, for speaking to us beforehand. We already thank you for it. We know it. We count it done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, normally I don't preach the same message in Olean as I do in South Dayton. I have before, but, you know, I'm someone that just likes to follow the Spirit of God. He knows what people need in each service. And it seems good to share this along the same lines I did last night. And I'll just say this to start it off. Man, I couldn't believe the response last night of people coming up to me after service and telling me how much it blessed them. Not the preaching, but the content of the Word of God and how much it helped people. So I'm excited for what's going to bring to this church as well this morning and the help. I mean, people coming up to me after service, I knew nothing about that, or I had wrong thinking along those lines or whatever, and the Word straightened them out. So I'm thrilled about that. Hallelujah. But before we start, I want to ask everybody a question. I'm going to ask for participation here. You don't have to say anything out loud. It's just going to be a simple raising of the hand. And let me just say this, that if we need to, we'll cast that lying devil out of you. And we'll, that's a joke, by the way. Praise the Lord. I'm just messing around with you. But hallelujah. But let me ask you this question here this morning. How many of you in here that can hear my voice want 2015 to be the most prosperous financial year that you've ever had? Raise your hand if you could say, see, do we have any liars in here? Who's not raising their hand? I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. I mean, that's a simple question, right? And, you know, you heard me praying. My goal is to be as wealthy as I can, not for selfish motivation. To be a blessing to the kingdom of God. I know that getting the gospel out across the world and being a blessing to people, that costs money. Books are not free. Hallelujah. Starting churches is not free. Keeping churches going is not free. Sending missionaries around the world, sending ministers that preach the word that we get to hear every week is not a free thing. And so I want to be blessed to be a bigger blessing. I want to help the people that are hurting and need help. Well, I can't do that unless I'm blessed. So that's my motivation anyway. And I know this, that, you know, as you're giving out and you're blessing, it's like a hose. The hose gives out the water, but you know, as the hose is giving out the water, the hose stays wet. The hose stays wet. Hallelujah. And so I'm not concerned about that. If I have my sights set on the kingdom, I'll stay wet. My family will stay blessed. Praise God. And same for you. But that's our motivation. And I think we could all say, yeah, I want 2015 to be better. Praise the Lord. Well, what I'm learning as a Christian, as a child of God, and as a minister, is that we have way more of a part to play in our success than we've previously been told in religion. You know, God is not like the cherry tree, that when some cherries get ripe, they just boop, fall right off onto you and can fall right and bunk you in the head or fall into your lap. The promises of God don't work that way. Hallelujah. We have an obligation to take what God has given to us. Hallelujah. Take it by the force of faith. We have a part to play in that. And so if you're going to have 2015 be different financially, you're going to have to do something different financially. Amen. It's not just going to automatically just happen. Just because you're pretty or you talk good or you dress nice, it's not going to automatically just happen, praise the Lord. You know, what's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, right? People do that financially all the time. I'm going to tell myself here, I have accumulated new suits over the years. I have 6 brand spanking new suits in my closet that sat there brand new, untailored, from 2014 all the way to 2015. And the reason is because I am too stubborn to get the waist let out. I refuse. I will fit into those suits as is. But I noticed something. In 2014, when I look back, I said, you know, I really didn't do much to help myself to squeeze into those things, right? And it's foolish for me to think that I ever will until I change some things. Change maybe some workout habits, change maybe some nutrition things in my life. It's the same thing financially. People wonder, why aren't I getting what the pastor's talking about? Why aren't the blessings coming? Well, today I'm going to help you go in so that 2015 is different for you financially. But just to warn you from the get-go, you have a part to play in that. God is no respecter of people. He loves us all the same. He's laid out the blessings for every single person. Why is it one group of Christians can be blessed and the other can always be in defeat? It's not because God has picked and choosed and put one in one group and one in the other. No, people cooperate with Him more. I'm going to be a cooperator with God. You know, salvation didn't fall into my lap. I had to believe in Jesus. I had to confess Him with my mouth. And if I didn't do those two things, even though salvation was available to me, I'd have gone without. Praise the Lord. And I was on the fast track to Nowhereville. Praise God. But I cooperated with the Lord when it came to salvation. It's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing with prosperity. It's the same thing financially. And it just seemed good in my heart with 2015 starting off. You say, Pastor, is it appropriate to talk about money? Well, if you were in half the meetings that I was in, you'd think I should talk about it a whole lot more. Because the majority of the problems that people talk to me about on the other side of the desk or the other side of a text message or the other side of a phone is money problems. And the pastors that I talk to all around this country that I get the privilege of talking with and the ones within our family church, same thing. By far, money's the number one problem that people have. Well, let's change that. Hallelujah. Let's change that. So we're going to take a look at some things. And what if you want a title, if you're one of those neat note takers, the title of today's message, which I usually don't ever say, would be called Truths of the Offering, or Truths About the Offering, or Offering Facts. So many people are confused when it comes to biblical giving. And I know this, and I was shocked at some, and this isn't, if you're listening by live stream from Olean, and you're one of those people, this isn't to put you down. It actually shows me, my goodness, maybe we need to back up and teach some things a little bit better. How confused people are concerning the offering, and what the offering is, and what to do with the offering, and what the Bible says about the offering. So we're going to take a look at some things. And we're going to look at 3 truths about the offering here today. See, I'm making it real easy for you to take notes this morning. Usually I'm kind of all over the place, but it just kind of the way the message fell together. But in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, if you were going to label number 1 about truths about the offering, and let me say this about the offering to get you excited about this message. The tithe is the doorway into prosperity. But once you get through the doorway, you need to go somewhere. The offering will take you to the land of prosperity. The offering is what takes you there. The tithe gets you into the party, but the offering then takes you to where you want to go financially and prosper. And you'll see that in the Word today. You'll see that in the Word. So number 1 about offering facts or truths about the offering is that the tithe and the offering are not the same thing. They are not the same thing. And let's look at this, and I'm going to show you real quick that the Bible differentiates the two. In Malachi chapter 3, in verse 8, it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, where have we robbed you, Lord?" And he says, where? "In tithes and offerings." It's like the doctrine of spirit, soul, and body. People think the soul and the spirit are the same thing. They're not the same thing. Paul said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. They're three different entities. You know, we are a spirit. We have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body. Praise God. Separate things. Same with the tithe and the offering. Not the same thing. And people get these things mixed up all the time. Hallelujah. And notice that the Bible here in Malachi 3 and verse 8 tells us that we're robbers of God if we don't do the tithe and the offering. And so a lot of Christians, now I look at it from a faith perspective. And when you see at the end of the service, you'll see why I say this. I don't look at it from the perspective of robbing God in the sense of I'm doing Him harm, so to speak, but in the fact that I'm robbing Him from doing what He says He'll do for me in my life. I'm robbing Him the opportunity of doing His Word. He can only be faithful to His Word, people. He cannot go above and beyond His Word. Hallelujah. And so we need to take a look at some of these things. But notice it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have. And tithes and offerings. Now, I don't want to make this about the tithe today. But if you're here and you're not a tither, let me just say this to you, and I'll put it as plainly and as lovingly as possible. You will never experience the financial prosperity and freedom that God has for you until you first go through the door of tithing. A faithful tithe. You'll never be able, you can't even get to the offering part of what we're talking today until you faithfully go through the door of tithing. You just can't do it. It's impossible. And I'll show you those things. But the tithe, we need to understand the difference between the tithe and the offering. The tithe is an act of obedience. The tithe is an act of faithfulness. Actually, Heather, if you'd pull up verse 10, just to real quick show people. It says to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. So we see the purpose of the tithe and where the tithe is to go. The tithe is to go into the storehouse, and the Lord describes what the storehouse is, that there may be meat in my house. Well, what's a tithe? A tithe is a tenth part. The tithe, the word tithe in the Hebrew means one-tenth. Well, that means if you, and we know that the Bible talks about in Proverbs 3, it says to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. Well, the first tenth goes to God into the storehouse. Biblically, tithing is the doctrine that transcends every stage in the Bible. Pre-law, 430 years before the law, Abraham brought his tithes. Then the law came, and then after the law, you read in Hebrews chapter 7, talking about the tithe. Praise God. Old Testament law and New Testament. Praise God. But the tithe is an act of faithfulness and obedience, and we see the purpose of it. It's so that there's meat in the house of God. And I'll just say it this way. You know, it's easy to talk about this with Olean because they're reaping the benefits of a tithe. They're in a brand new church that cost us thousands of dollars to renovate and get that worked up. Well, that's a brand new congregation. They didn't have the money to pay for that, praise the Lord. But the faithfulness of this church, see, what people have to understand about this church is years ago, my pastor had a vision about South Dayton. Now, why in the heck would you start a church in South Dayton? Unless God told you to, right? There are many other places I can think that would be better. But he had a vision years ago that South Dayton would be a great door and effectual. What that means is a great door of opportunity would come from South Dayton. We've already seen that happen. The biggest city in Cattaraugus County got a church started in it from South Dayton Church. The faithfulness of the people to give in South Dayton of their tithes and offerings. See, the calling on this church, just to kind of let you in on secret, is to start other works. It is. One of the things of this church is going to be responsible for is starting other works. You can't do that without money. And people were faithful. Meet in the house. Meet in the house for what we need to do. If people were not faithful here, we wouldn't be able to start another church. You know how many people have been born again in Olean and are serving God, have come out of darkness and are fired up for the Lord? Holy cow, praise God. They're so happy people were faithfully tithing. Well, the tithe, and also you have to understand this. The Bible says, and we don't need to turn there, in Leviticus 27 and verse 30, it says that the tithe is holy unto the Lord and belongs to God. You see, when it comes to the tithe, we're talking about the offering today, so we need to differentiate with the tithe. With the tithe comes no choice in the sense of being obedient and faithful. Now, if you look at it from a law standpoint, it'll bog you down and religion will get you. But if you look at it from a standpoint of, wow, I get to be a blessing to the house of God. The Bible says He'll open the windows. What is that? A doorway in? Opening the windows. See, you can't get in until something's opened up. The tithe opens up the windows of heaven for you to be able to enter in. Hallelujah. And there's so many other blessings that go with the tithe. But the Bible says that the tithe is holy and belongs unto God. What does that mean? That means that when we get a birthday card, when we get a paycheck, 10% off the top is the Lord's, praise God. And if you look at it wrong, so you need to look at the heart of it. The heart of it is, I want to be a blessing to the house of God. And then the Lord says, I'll open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough to receive it. So He's got you in mind as well. And see, when you have a heart knowing how God is, see, when it comes to things concerning money in church, and you know I've rarely talked about this stuff, when it comes to things in church talking about finances, our safety net to make sure we're never being manipulated or that our arms are being twisted or that you're being fed something just to get you to be writing checks and writing money, the safety net's always the Word of God. Is what He's saying in the Word of God, because if it is, we can fall back on that and know we're safe. But also, when you look at a verse like this, when you know the heart of the Father is that He loves His children. He's never going to tell His children anything to lead them into lack. He's never going to tell His children anything to lead them into less or to lead them into struggle. He's always going to be trying and attempting to build His children up to bless His children. Why? He's a good dad. Just like my kids. I'm not trying to make them stumble. I'm trying to build them up so they can be as successful as possible. Hallelujah. Well, that's what the tithe is for. Well, the tithe is completely different from the offering. The tithe is 10%. God makes it easy for us. Hallelujah. The offering, this is where we're going to start getting into it. The offering is anything that's on top of the tithe. If you made $100, 10 of it belongs to God. Anything you bring or give to anywhere on top of the tithe is considered an offering. And that's what we're going to look at today. And I'm going to show you that your harvest, your blessing financially depends on what you do in this realm. Amen. What you do in the offering realm, praise God. You know, so many people, they stop at the tithe. They stop at the tithe. See, if I get invited to a party, and it's fun and all sorts of good, exciting things are happening, and I walk through the door, and I just stand there the whole night. Everybody else is eating the food and playing. I mean, I'm 35, and I still think those big blow-up balloon things are fun. I mean, I want to be on the slide dumping into the balls and stuff. So if I'm just watching it, I'm jealous. You know, it's like Caleb got my dad got him a leap pad for Christmas. I guess you play a bunch of different games on it and stuff. And he thinks that thing's just the neatest thing in the world because it takes pictures. And I'm always taking pictures of him on my cell phone, and he's getting the fake cell phones out and pretending. But this thing takes real pictures, so he's pumped. And it plays music. There's this one stinking song. It's in my head. It's like punk, 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 punctuation, punk. And it talks about punctuation marks. And he'll play that over and over again. Now we're getting him a Doc McStuffins game, a Team Umizoomi game, all these different games and learning. He don't even want to have anything to do with them because he's so, just blown away by the punctuation song and by pictures. But see, what happens is he doesn't realize there's more. He doesn't realize there's a whole new world of leap pad open to him. And that once he would discover it, oh man, he'd be hooked. And once you discover the blessings of the offering, you will become hooked on this thing. And giving will be an exciting thing. And it'll be a thrilling thing. Praise the Lord, it will. But let me just say this, because people need to understand this. The offering, anything above the tithe, is where generosity is found. Now let me burst your bubble, people. If you're a faithful tither, that does not make you generous. It makes you obedient. If you make what's 10% of 100 million? 10 million? If you make $100 million a year and you write the church a check for $10 million, thank God for it. We're happy about that, but that doesn't make you generous. It makes you just as obedient as the person that made $100 and tithed $10 on that. The tithe is a percentage. It's not an amount. Praise God. And we need to remember that. Because so many people are faithful with their tithe. And they feel like they're hanging the moon. You're not. You're missing out, actually. Now, we're thankful. The church is thankful for that tithe. But the offering is where the blessing is found. And you'll see that today in the Word of God, that your harvest depends on what you do with that stage. Because the offering is where the amounts differ and where the percentage of sacrifice differ. The tithe, it never differs. You can only tithe 10% on what you make. Well, God's looking at a percentage. He's not looking at an amount with the tithe. Hallelujah. And people need to be careful. I remember someone getting so upset with me. They're not with us anymore, unfortunately. But as they kept increasing and being faithful, their tithe kept going up. Well, when, you know, if you make $100, your tithe's 10, but if you make $1,000, your tithe's 100. Still the same principle, 10%, but the amount's more. And sometimes people need to be careful with that tithe amount, because as the tithe goes up, as God prospers you and increases you, sometimes the tithe can be more temptation to hold on to. And this person, they were increasing, glory to God, and they tried to buy their way into me and buy their way into the church. You wouldn't believe some of the things that happened. And that's just not going to buy your way with me. No way. I'm just too nervous to not do anything right when it comes to money, with the church's money and things like that. And well, what was happening was their tithe was increasing. So they felt that they had more say in the church because they were given more money. And they started to take ownership of the church's money because they were given such a big portion of it. The tithe is not generous. You are not special if you write $1 million tithe check. You're faithful and obedient, and we applaud you for that. But see, we need to understand that people, I mean, some people will stop right to the penny for their tithe, and they don't go in anymore. And you're standing at the door of the party while the prosperity's waiting to be had, and it's not coming to pass in your life. Why? You stopped at the tithe. You got to go in. Praise God. So the offering, you could equate the offering to giving. Did you know that the tithe isn't even giving? Now, don't get too happy about this message today. Glory to God. If there's someone in the nursery, just go ahead and back there and tell her. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The tithe is not giving. Praise God. Say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? I thought the tithe was giving. Nope, the tithe isn't giving. Hallelujah. Heather, would you go back to where are we at? Malachi 3 and verse 10, same thing. Look what that first word is. What's that first word?
Bring.
Now, let me ask you a question. The Bible says the tithe is holy unto God, belongs to Him. I borrowed a muzzleloader a couple years ago from a friend that I didn't have one at the time. And he said, I'm not going hunting tomorrow. He knew I didn't have one. He said, you're more than welcome to use it. I just need it back the next day. I'm going out. I think he's going out with his dad or something. So I used it. You know, the next day when I brought that to him, I didn't give that to him. I wasn't like, oh, here's my gift back to you. No, I was bringing him what was already his. The tithe is not giving. And giving and receiving, that's not based on the tithe. The tithe is the obedience to bless the house of God, to get into the doorway of financial prosperity. But the giving on top of the tithe, that's where your prosperity lies. That's where it waits. Now, don't take my word for that. Let's wait and see what the Bible says. But number one, the tithe and the offering are not the same. Tithing is not generosity. Offering is considered giving. Now, here we go, number two. You choose the destination of the offering where you want it to go, unless the Holy Ghost tells you where to take it. The Bible instructs us that the tithe goes to the storehouse. But Heather, if you'd pull up 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, remember, when it's about giving, it's not talking about the tithe. You can't give God something that's already His. You can bring the tithe. That's why another thing with the tithe doesn't belong to an organization. The tithe doesn't belong to a guest minister. The tithe doesn't belong to a family member that's hurting. It belongs to the storehouse. If everybody in this church that was faithful to this church, that's called to be here, if every single one of you would be faithful to bring your tithe, there'd be adequate meat in the storehouse. We'd be able to do every single thing that God's called us to do. See, God calls people according to what He calls us what to do, according to what people have. And He just assumes in His silly God mind that people are going to obey Him. Isn't that something? Do you know people say God can do anything He wants? I say, no, He can't. If He could do anything He wants, He'd make you tithe. He'd make you tithe. Oh, yes, He would. Don't you look at me that way. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to get you blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Every man. Now, if you know anything about the Word, and if you don't, we're going to tell you about these two chapters. In chapter 8 and chapter 9, it's talking about an offering that's going to be taken up. Not the tithe and offering. The whole two chapters are financial chapters. He says, every man. Notice nobody's excluded. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. What's God saying? That every person ought to be a giver. And let me just tell you this. Oh, are you ready for Pastor Mike to get real mean?
Come on.
Here it comes. I'm going to try my hardest to be mean. In a loving way. A lot of people can never be givers because they've never even first reached the tithe stage. Let me just give you an example. If you make $1,000 a week, what's a tithe on that? 100. If you walk in here and drop a $50 bill in the bucket, don't do one of these and feel like you're hanging the moon. You know what you just did? You just gave God a tip. You tipped him. You're unfaithful. You tipped him. And let me just say this. Hold on to your tips. You're going to need them. That was my mean speech for the day. That's as mean as I got. I don't know how to be any meaner. But it's true. You can't get into the giving and the offering stage until you first get into the faithfulness of the tithe. And people walk in and they just tip God off the top. Just give God a little tip and they're not even being faithful. I remember being in church, dropping a 20 in and thinking I just did something real good. Yet my tithe was should have been 50. Or my tithe should have been 60 and I was being unfaithful. And I was making it so that the house of God didn't have adequate meat in it. And the kingdom of God wasn't going forward. If you think the kingdom can go forward without money, you're wrong. It needs money, just like you need money to operate. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you like it is. For those of you that have been with me for a long time, you know we hardly preach on this stuff. So if you're visiting, you can talk to one of those people and say, I haven't heard him talk about much of that. But anyways, so you choose the destination of the offering unless the Holy Ghost directs you. Notice it says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. God gives you the opportunity to decide where your offering goes. The tithe, he says, I want it to go to the storehouse so that there's blessing in the church. Praise God. And I'm thankful for that because we wouldn't be able to operate without it.
That's right.
But he says the offering, which is anything on top of the tithe, he says according as you purpose in your heart. Now again, if the Holy Ghost directs you to give it somewhere, you obey the Holy Ghost. That trumps where you purpose. But a lot of times when an offering comes up or if I get a little extra money, I don't get a direction a lot of times from the Holy Ghost. I'll just purpose in my heart to be generous somewhere, to be generous to the house of God I'm part of, to be generous to a minister, to be generous to a person, to be generous to a family. I'll purpose that in my own heart. And the Bible says that we're able to do that. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
But, now are you ready for me to sound really scholarly?
Yes.
There's a caveat emptor. Ooh.
Whoa.
I remember that word from business class. It means buyer beware. You can put the offering wherever you want, but, warning, choose wisely. So what do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean, choose wisely? Well, Heather, if you'd go to verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, just one verse up. Choose wisely. We're trying to teach you to be skillful here. I want you to prosper is what I'm trying to say. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Look what Paul says. Now he's talking about an offering. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly. So he's talking about the offering in terms of like seed. And in verse 10, he says that the Lord gives seed to the sower. So your finances above the tithe is considered an offering, which God likens it to seed. Now here's the thing we know about seed. We can take the best scientifically lab-designed seed in the world that the scientists say is going to produce the best crop, the best harvest, yield the most fruit, whatever. We can take that seed and we can dump that on the ground here. And we can come in every week, every day, faithfully and water that seed. And guess what? We're not going to get a harvest. And that's what people are doing with their finances. They're taking their seed and they're scattering it places that have no opportunity for any kind of an increase because the Bible likens your money to seed. And if you sow seed in bad ground, a farmer knows this, you can't get a harvest. I had the Lord tell me, it was amazing. If I even said what it was, it probably knocked you off your seat. I faithfully gave money to an organization for years. And the Holy Ghost said to me, don't ever give a penny to them again. He said, do you know what they teach? And I thought to myself, I can't believe I have been. They don't believe in biblical prosperity. They don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in divine healing. They believe that God's the one out killing people. They believe that God's the one out causing the problems. They are very open about this. And I'm sowing money into them. And the Lord says, why would you sow money into that place? What was I doing? Sowing my seed on the rocky ground. Yeah. I wasn't. The Holy Ghost told me, don't ever give a penny to them again. And I haven't since. Hallelujah. You know, I'm in it for a harvest. My heart, number one, is to give to be a blessing. But I'm in it for the harvest. A farmer is. They plant with expectation, don't they? So don't look at me like I'm selfish. Keep those looks all to yourself back there. Shame on you. You need to get your mind renewed. A farmer knows that. Praise the Lord. They plant for a harvest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So choose wisely. Sow the seed in the good ground. Praise God. What's good ground? Well, anything the Lord tells you. But you know your church is good ground. Your church is good ground. People, that's where you're getting fed. People are getting born again. You know, we have ministers that travel around the world preaching the word and getting people saved. That's good ground. There's missionaries. There's organizations that are doing wonderful things for the kingdom of God. That's good ground. Hallelujah. I want to sow my seed into good ground. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. So you choose the destination of the offering unless the Holy Ghost directs you, but make sure you choose wisely. You don't want to scatter seed and not get a return for it. My goodness. Hallelujah. We're called to be good stewards of our finances. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the home run?
Amen.
Saving the best for last, number three. Number one was the tithe and the offering are not the same. Number two is you get to choose unless the Holy Ghost directs you otherwise, but choose wisely. Number three, your harvest in life is determined by you, not God.
That's good.
Your harvest in life financially has nothing to do with God except that He honors His word with what you do.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to do something, is what I'm trying to say. So, oh, I'm going to need scripture on that. Well, I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to give you some. Hallelujah. Now, if the Bible says that money is like seed, then doesn't a farmer know if I have a bunch of seed, or if I have any seed, if I hold on to that seed, I'm going to get only what the seed in and of itself is. But a farmer knows the releasing or the sowing of the seed is where the multiplication and the increase comes from. Doesn't a farmer know that? And so they go out and they plant seed. Do you know why a lot of Christians don't have this harvest that we're talking about? Aren't walking in the biblical prosperity? Aren't walking in the blessings that your pastor is talking about till he's blue in the face every week? Gets his veins popping out, face turning blue? Because a lot of Christians have no seed in the ground. No seed in the ground at all. They've stopped at the tithe, which isn't seed. They've never planted anything. And then when the time comes for a harvest or when they need a harvest, there's nothing there. How silly would it be for a farmer with a 100-acre field who didn't plant any seed during planting time and sowing time to walk out there when all his farmer friends are reaping a harvest, to walk out into his fields that he owns after not planting a seed and stand there and be upset that he doesn't have a harvest? You would call that a dumb farmer. Well, wow, they're dumb Christians. No, a lot of times it's ignorance, but a lot of times it's disobedience too. No seed in the ground. You've never planted a seed before, so you can't expect down the road the harvest to come. If you want the harvest to come, you better get some seed in the ground. Yeah, hallelujah. Oh, you're just trying to get me to give. You're right. You're right. You got me. Because if I can get you to give, I can get you to get. If I can get you to sow, I can get you to reap. Because as long as the earth remains, the Bible says, seed, time, and harvest. You can't get to the harvest without the seed and the time. But if you'll do the seed and then the time goes by, the harvest will come. It's a principle that the Lord says, as long as the earth remains. You can't not get a harvest when you sow it into good ground. When a farmer sows into good ground, he knows that he knows harvest is imminent. I know that thing's coming back up out of that ground. I know it is. Praise the Lord. My seed's good. The ground's good. Hallelujah. It's coming back up. Well, here's the other thing, is that how much harvest is dependent on how much seed. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. Praise God. Trying to help you have this year be different. Keep doing the same thing if you want offering time. Keep disobeying when God's telling you, sow into that project, sow into that person, sow into that thing. Keep ignoring those things and your finances will stay the same. You won't change. Praise the Lord. Look at what Paul says about the offering. I love it. You know, I preach this stuff and people look at me like they're a cow at a Newgate. I mean, they're a deer in the headlights. Like, what? How dare he say this stuff? But Paul stood up and said, he said, I want you to know. He which sows sparingly, guess what? Reaps sparingly. He that sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Listen to what that verse says, praise God, in the Message Bible. A stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. Now, how foolish would it be for a farmer in 100 acres field to go out there in a little section of 1 acre in his field and plant corn seed? And, of course, he walks back out there during harvest time and notice that only 1 acre of corn has sprung up. Now, how foolish would it be for him to expect that the whole thing would be filled? Now, if he'd have planted more seed, praise God, he would have got a bigger harvest. And Paul says, bold Paul, the one that they would have done an expose on him, 2020, Dateline NBC, MSNBC, CNN, Fox News would have had a field day on him. Did you hear what that preacher said? He stood up and said that we need to give more. And Paul would have said, that's right. That's right, I said it. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly will reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. If you want a bountiful harvest, you gotta stop sowing the same seeds. If you want your harvest to change, you're gonna have to change your seed amount. There's no other way to put it. It's that simple. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to stress this before we close here, to be open to what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. I've noticed this, that when the Holy Spirit gets involved with my giving, I purpose in my heart to be generous. And then sometimes I feel like I'm hanging the moon until the Holy Ghost comes in and says, no, up it to this. And then I'm like, well, I'm really kind of a cheapskate compared to how the Holy Ghost works. But every time the Holy Ghost has told me to give something, it's always stretched me financially. It's always stretched my faith. But the return on it was greater than anything that I have ever seen before. Praise God. I told you how this church, years ago, when we were in the old building over there across the parking lot, we were getting ready to purchase a new building. I was in a service in California. And you know, if I'm the head of this church, and of course we do have checks and balances with the finances, I can't just do whatever I want with it, but I do make the big decisions here. So you could kind of say I'm the CEO of a church, and the CEO of a company, you know, they make big decisions and stuff. And if I'm encouraging all our business owners, and I'm encouraging all the people of the church to be generous financially, you better believe this church is going to be generous. You better believe this church is going to be a giving church, and we are. And I was in a service, and the Holy Spirit, there was an offering coming up for something, and I knew in my heart I was going to give. I purposed in my heart to give from the church, which I felt at the time was a big offering. And the Holy Ghost came in and said, nope, I want you to give this. And it was 1/4 of all the church's money. Now you hear that and you might think, we better put someone else in charge of that money. 1/4 of what the church had getting ready to go into a building fund. And I'll tell you, I sat there and sweat it out writing that check. Because I knew this is not naturally going to put us in a good place. But then all the Word of God started coming back to me. Sow a seed, harvest, plant big, get big. Glory to God. So I wrote that and I sowed that. It came in staggered between 2 and 6 or 7 months. Over $70,000 came into this church out of nowhere, which is responsible for keeping this place going, starting another church, and things to come. Glory to God. 14 times the amount came in from what we sowed. Glory to God. Why? The Lord, it was one of those Holy Ghost things. Holy Ghost told me to give an offering to Pastor Nancy Dufresne. Another one of those where you're writing and the sweat's hitting the check. And I obeyed it finally and sowed it 2 weeks later. A check, anonymously, is that a word? Showed up in the mail from a person that doesn't even go to the church. Doubled the amount of what we gave. Glory to God. I could stand up here and tell you story after story of people in the church that have sowed and been faithful and had things multiply, increase by double. Out of nowhere. Don't put God in a box. Praise the Lord. Stop thinking, well, you know, I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know how he's going to get it to me. I only have my paycheck. God can work above your paycheck. God can work above your income. God can work above your inheritance. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Just so you know, and in case you forgot, he's God. I know we forget that, don't we? Praise the Lord. Galatians 6:7, we'll get ready to close. Got to be a sower. If you're stopping at the tithe, stop patting yourself on the back. You're missing out. Now, we're thankful for your faithfulness. But we want you to move into more. Galatians 6 and verse 7. I mean, maybe if we honestly did an honest examination of our lives, we could say, you know what? Okay, Pastor, I see it. I see why I'm not getting the harvest. I see why things are always tight. I see why I'm not getting the increase and overflow. Maybe it has to do everything with the seed that you're sowing or the seed you're not sowing. I mean, I had one guy come up to me last night and say, I never even knew anything about the offering. Didn't know anything about it. He said, I've always tithed. Didn't know anything about planning. Tithes is not planning, praise God. Anyways, Galatians 6 and verse 7. Look at this verse. Be not deceived, Christians. Hallelujah. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Listen to what the Phillips translation of that verse says. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely upon the seed that he sows. Your harvest in life financially depends on your seed. Not God. Excuse me. Not just hoping. What seeds you plant in the ground. And if we're going to look at that agriculturally, a farmer knows that that is so. Yeah, it's true. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Last verse. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. You see, so many people's minds are not renewed to the Word, and so when they hear this, they think, oh my gosh, they are trying to fleece me and take my money. God, what kind of a God is this? See, you're thinking about it wrong. This is God's method for you to get more than you've ever had before. It's not to try to take from you. And people think, a tithe and now an offering on top of that? No, the right way of thinking is, you look at the tithe wrong. I get excited to give the tithe. I don't know about you, but even if there was nothing in it for me, I'd give the tithe just to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. It excites me to provide for the house of God. And we have a motto in our family that we've adopted from Dr. Dufresne. If the church needs carpet and our house needs carpet, guess who's getting the carpet in our house? If the church needs furniture or we need furniture, you better believe the church is going to get our money and get the stuff first, the house of God. We love giving to the house of God. I love it. I get excited to write my tithe check. I'm thrilled about it. Praise God. People say, well, it's my money. Well, contra mon frere. First of all, it's God's heir that you're breathing. Maybe he should shut that supply off from you and see how much you want to take ownership of everything. He gave you a mind. He gave you favor. He gave you a body, allowed you to live in America, gave you a home. It's not your money. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. A cattle on 1,000 hills, all the silver and gold is his. Wrong thinking towards this stuff. Abraham, out of the goodness of his heart, no law or nothing, got a big harvest and said, I gotta bring 10% to God. 430 years. How much more Christians who have received Jesus should we be thrilled to give back? I mean, money compared to heaven? Are you serious? And the Bible says money's an indicator of your heart. Hallelujah. So you look at it wrong. It should be, I get to tithe and I get to sow because sowing is going to be a blessing, but I'm going to get more back. And it becomes a cycle. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10, last verse. It says, now he, talking about God, that ministereth seed to the who?
Sower.
Notice the seed doesn't get poured out to everybody. The seed goes to the sower, not the tither. Tithing is not sowing. The seed goes to the sower. The Lord says this, that if you're a sower, I'll continually minister seed to the sower. What's he saying about saying? You'll get into a cycle where it becomes a nonstop giving and receiving. We're in that cycle. Now, at first, your giving is out in front, but then when the harvests start catching up, it's like a daily, almost a daily thing. Something good happens. Why? We kept sowing seeds. I try to sow a seed every single day. Do I do it every day? No, but I try. I try to do something every day. Why? I'm investing for my future. And it becomes this continual cycle of sowing and reaping. Constantly seed being ministered unto me. Why? Because I'm a sower. It becomes so addicting. It almost becomes selfish. I almost get to the point like offering time. Yes. More coming. Glory to God. More coming. Glory to God. Yeah, got to think right about these things. Praise the Lord. Well, were you blessed this morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If you want something different in 2015, I double dog dare you in 2015 to sow a seed that you've never sown before. Do you know that my wife and I never started reaping in thousands until we started sowing in thousands? I remember my first $1,000 check I wrote. And I hope someday that we all get to the place where those are easy to do. I'm not there yet. We're just simple to do that. But I remember hearing a minister talk about that and say, if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. He said, you always sow in fives? The Bible says you have to always reap in fives. And I was tired of it. So we stretched ourselves, and I remember that first $1,000 seed I wrote. You talk about gripping that baby and letting that thing go. But you know what? We didn't start reaping in thousands till we started sowing in thousands. It's the truth. It's just the truth. Do something you've never done before in 2015. I didn't say give it to me. I didn't say give it to the church. Be led on where you're going to give it. Do something that's on your heart. Be faithful with your tithe to the church, but do something. Now, if you want to give it to your church, we won't turn it away. And it's good ground. You can be assured you'll get a harvest, but there's other good places that you can sow into. But I dare you to up your giving in 2015. I dare you. I just wrote my first checks for all the ministries that we give, and I upped our giving this year. Why? I want a greater harvest. I know the principle, how it works. I want to give more in 2015 than I've ever given any year before, because if I do that, my harvest will be bigger than I've ever gotten before. So let's get some seed in the ground. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the blessings that are coming. Father, you're interested in us prospering. We're your children. Father, I'm interested in my children prospering. I don't feel bad about that. Lord, you're interested in us prospering. As long as we have the right motives, Father, and the right heart about it. And Lord, I believe we're amongst good people, generous people here, Father, that want to be a blessing to the house of God, be a blessing to the body of Christ and to people that are hurting, and to help spread the word of God. But Lord, I just thank you so much as we continue to help you and bless you, Father. You are faithful. You are not a man that you should lie. And if you said we'll get a harvest and it'll come back greater than we gave it, Father, we believe that. Giving becomes simple when our minds are renewed to the word. So, Father, I thank you that as people step out and obey this word, Father, I thank you they will start seeing increase. They will start seeing those bigger harvests. And they will see that the word works. And they'll become addicted to giving, Father. We'll just have a whole church of givers. And, Father, we'll get everything done that you've called us to do. And, Father, we'll be a blessing to mankind. Hallelujah. If I could ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes real quick. No looking around. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask everybody to ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Ask yourself that question. If your answer isn't, I know I'd go to heaven, I'm here to tell you that it's simple to get there. Religion has made it hard and people have made it hard, but God made it so simple. He gave you His Son to die on the cross, to take your sins so you'd be sinless and righteous like God is, and so you could have fellowship and a relationship with Him. If you're here today and you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, Pastor. Well, I want to encourage you and ensure you, number one, we won't embarrass you. We're not going to have you come to the front or stand up or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But if you can say, you know what, I believe in Jesus, and I believe He died and rose again, and I sure'd like to know I'm going to heaven, but I also would like to have a relationship with God here on this earth, and He can teach you all these wonderful things that wants to bless you and make your life better. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus this morning and you're not sure that you would go to heaven, but you believe in Him and you want to be for sure, nobody's looking around, would you just raise your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus this morning? Just real quick, lift it up in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus this morning? Father, I don't see any hands in this building. Doesn't mean that there isn't anybody that should raise their hand. Sometimes people are shy. If you're listening by live stream, if you're listening in this building and you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have, make sure you don't let life pass you by without making Jesus your Savior. He loves you. It's a free gift. And in the privacy of your own home, just cry out to Him and say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my heart. And if you do that on your own, make sure you get a hold of me and we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church where you can learn all the wonderful things that God has for you. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word today, Father. We know that your heart concerning money is not to take from us. It's to see your plan go forward and to see us blessed and prospered as your children. We give you praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Before we go, I have to take care of some business that the Lord just dropped in my spirit. Jim and Julie, if you'd come forward real quick. Wasn't planning on doing this, but I need to be obedient to the Holy Ghost here. Hallelujah. And if you just stand in front of me, right here next to each other, praise God. Hallelujah. Just being obedient. You can stand right there. Hallelujah. Well, let's just go ahead and close our eyes. Make sure that, and everybody else, just join your faith with them. Let's make sure that we get the utterance that the Holy Ghost wants to say here this morning. Father, I thank you so much for these wonderful people. Praise God. And the Lord just wants me to tell you both, to be ready in 2015, that he's the God of Ephesians 3 and 20, that he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. And so don't be surprised that the things that the Lord has for you are things that your mind hasn't even touched yet. Your mind hasn't even grasped yet. But the Lord is saying stay faithful and stay open to whatever he has for you. Because he's about to blow your minds in a good way. He's about to do things in you guys and in your marriage and in your family and in your ministry that your minds never even went to and could ever touch. So be open, but make sure you remember that faithfulness will pave the way for you. But be open to what he has for you. He'll reveal these things to you in time. But be ready because they're things that you never would have thought and you never would have accepted. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Glory to God. Jesus' name, be blessed. Hallelujah. You guys can go ahead and sit down. Let's just praise him. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that. Glory to God. We thank you for that. You say, what was that? That was a word of knowledge and sort of a word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is when you know something about somebody. I know some things about them. The Lord's been dealing with me. And it's going to rock their mind, but in a good way. Hallelujah. Bless them. Praise God. And also just kind of about the future. And so that's awesome when those things happen. We rejoice for things. Those are gifts of the Spirit in operation. Hallelujah. Well, have an awesome rest of the weekend. I hope to see you at the Dr. Webb meetings. You will not be disappointed, I promise you. 7 o'clock tonight, Monday and Tuesday. We'll see you back here next Sunday, 10 a.m. You are dismissed.